Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Thank you for joining me for this evening weekend edition of the Daily Wrap-Up. Before I get into everything else, I wanted to quickly point out that we finally got in our Question Everything t-shirts. So for anyone out there that wants to check one out, you can check out the website truthclothing.io. In addition, it's really just never been more important today to begin questioning everything. That's why I think they're so relevant. As many things we say on this show are relevant to what's going on today, but to really understand what it means to question everything, not discount everything, you know, but to question, be skeptical of everything. That's always been true. We've just been manipulated to see things differently today. So we need to begin to question everything we come across, be that from the independent media, the mainstream media, people you trust, people you don't trust. You apply the same lens of skepticism to everything. That's just the way of the world. And it's important for us to begin understanding that. And before I get into everything else today and all of the different topics that really highlight, as always, that we should be questioning everything, I want to throw out there quickly that to the next $10 a month or more Patreon that we get on the website, I'll be giving out a free t-shirt, and I'll be doing some giveaways with these t-shirts over the next week or so. So whoever the next person is that signs up, and I'll make sure and say it tomorrow, whether it's already been done or not, to sign up for a $10 or more a month Patreon, I'll be mailing you a t-shirt and reach out to you on Patreon to get your address and all that if you'd like it, and send you a free t-shirt. So that being said, let's get into the first story of the day, which is a really profound story in my eyes, something that we've been talking about quite a lot in regard to Iran, but it's more than just revealing what we already know about Iran, but more so highlighting how they responded to it. And really in the words around it and what they're, and even more than any of that, actually, now that I think about it, again, the fact that they think so little of you as the American people, that they simply don't think you're going to be able to seek out and find this kind of information. It's quite profound. And this one coming from RT, as well as many other places. This has been talked about all day today, even on mainstream media, believe it or not, but they're skewing the story, and I'll get to that later in the show. This one entitled, "We'll Overthrow Them. Trump's Lawyer Stirs Up Iran Uprising Summit After Deadly Terrorist Attack," which we'll also talk about in a moment. But the point being that he stood up yet again, speaking at the so-called Iran Uprising Summit, which is held by the Organization of Iranian American Communities in New York. Rudy Giuliani stood up once again and stressed the fact that the U.S. was in fact seeking regime change in Iran to a room full of MEK extremists and radicals. The MEK, of course, being the group that is funded by the Saudi government, which we've only just recently found out, but we generally expected, but tangibly found out that they were funding this group to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars through illegally smuggled watches and gold and offshore accounts, clearly not wanting people to see it. And of course, all of that facilitated by the United States, and all this group, ultimately, all of them seeking out a violent overthrow of the democratically elected Iranian government. This is Rudy Giuliani, again, as well as many others, John Bolton, Elaine Chao, many other people in the Trump administration who have aggressively talked about regime change, while clearly they state that that's not the policy of the United States. He literally said, quote, "I don't know when we're going to overthrow them. It could be days, it could be months, a couple of years, but it's going to happen. They're going to be overthrown. The people of Iran have obviously had enough," despite the fact that the group he's talking to is a very, very small faction who has been kicked out of Iran, essentially. They have been banished and have a very, very small faction within the country. Yet these are the people of Iran that we need to support. And then he goes on to say that the sanctions are working. The currency is going to nothing. Literally says very clearly, as we've always pointed out, that the sanctions are very clearly designed to do just that, which hurts the people. And he makes that point next by saying very clearly that people are starving to death and that people are literally selling their organs for money to survive. And then follows that by saying, these are the conditions that lead to successful revolution. Of course, and God willing, nonviolent revolution. We're literally talking about how their sanctions are causing people to starve. Clearly not what he meant to imply when he said all of this, but you can't separate the two. He made very clear point to say that our sanctions are working, it's ruining their economy, And then goes on to make it seem somehow that because the people are starving to death and selling their organs, that that's just separate and Iran's fault. Has nothing to do with the sanctions that are ruining their economy and the money that people use to survive. And of course, just ridiculously saying that this is what creates a good revolution. Again, clearly a revolution. So let's take a look at that video, and you can, you know, come to your own conclusions about what he had to say.
Tell me that you're not a serious threat. It's the regime we're trying to overthrow sees us as a threat. You are a threat. It is a reality. The protests are getting worse. I don't know when we're going to overthrow them. It could be in a few days, months, a couple of years, but it's going to happen. They are going to be overthrown. The people of Iran obviously have now had enough. The sanctions are working. The currency is going to nothing. They're where Russia was. They're where Poland was. We see signs of young men and women saying, give me some food. We saw a sign of a man trying to sell his internal organs for 500 American dollars, probably a fortune in Iran today. This is truly pitiful. These are the kinds of conditions that lead to successful revolution and, God willing, nonviolent revolution. I'll conclude by reminding everyone that when we have these revolutions and these overthrows, a constant realistic fear is what's going to replace the regime. And sometimes it has been catastrophic consequences, and sometimes it's worked out well. Here we have no doubt. Under the leadership of Madame Rajavi, under the leadership of all of you, of the leadership of the coalition she's established, not just MEK, but a vast coalition. This isn't Iraq after the Iraq invasion. I know that my good friend John McCain tragically died before he could see the dream that he talked about when he went to Albania a short time before I did. One of my last conversations with him, if not the last conversation, was his prediction that I would be lucky enough to be in a free Tehran. And John McCain is right. I will be with you in a free Iran much sooner than they think. Thank you.
Of course, calling on his best buddy, John McCain, and all of the wonderful things that he did for the American people while he was alive. But the absurdity of when you really hear what he's saying there, two things. That one, very clearly contradicts what the U.S. stated policy is. Very clearly. And saying point blank that this is going to happen. And then just basically laying out the fact that what they're doing is causing devastation to the country. But that's somehow Iran's fault for just being the bad guy. It's absurd, and it's important to recognize that contradiction there. And of course, that these aggressive anti-Iranian comments were made immediately after the Iranian Supreme Leader accused the U.S. and its regional puppets of instigating a deadly shooting attack at a military parade in the city of Avaz that killed at least 25 people on Saturday, which is our next story coming from ZeroHedge.com, entitled Dozens Dead in Iran After Gunman Attack Military Parade. Saudi Arabia blamed. But it gets much deeper than that. There's people that are calling on United States directly, Israel, of course, these little perfect little trifecta of the worst groups in the world that are carrying these things out. But that's, of course, if you take their word for it. But the way that this propaganda has gone, if they're just simply lying because they're the bad guy. It's the simplistic way we are being forced to look at these things. And of course, as we pointed out, all of these comments come after this happened. So at least 25 people are dead following this. 53 were wounded after an army parade in the southwestern Iranian city of Avaz came under attack by militants on Saturday. It's been reported that nearly half of the dead are members of the Revolutionary Guards, making this apparently one of the worst attacks ever on this elite force. While the Islamic State has, in fact, claimed responsibility for the attack, despite the clear connections we already have of that group to the United States, to Saudi Arabia, to Israel. That aside, despite them claiming responsibility for it, there are conflicting reports over who is actually behind it. A spokesman for Iran's Revolutionary Guards, Ramzi Sharif, I believe I'm saying his name correctly, said the attacks were funded by Sunni arch-rival Saudi Arabia. He said, quote, "They are funded by Saudi Arabia and attempted to cast a shadow over the Iranian armed forces." He said that Iran would respond swiftly and decisively in defense of Iranian lives. Now, Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Zarif, I'm just ruining his name today, however, blamed a U.S. ally in the region, tweeting, quote, "Terrorists recruited, trained, armed, and paid by a foreign regime have attacked Avaz." Point blank. Again, you could discount just because he's the one saying it, but this is important to take away. And then it says, children and journalists among the casualties, which is also pretty horrible to realize. And it says, Iran holds regional terror sponsors and their U.S. masters accountable for such attacks. Iran will respond swiftly and decisively in defense of Iranian lives. I'm sorry I butchered his name. I feel bad every time I do that. It shows a lack of respect for anybody, but I'm bad with some of these people's names. Now, Brigadier General Abolvaz Shirkari, again, a senior spokesman for Iran's armed forces, said that the attackers have ties to the U.S. and Israel. Again, very important to understand how this all connects together, and that weapons were hidden near the parade route several days in advance. He said the gunmen were trained by two Gulf Arab states and had ties to the United States and Israel. Now, this is just specifically not taking into account that the Islamic State and ISIS in general have very clear ties to both of these countries. He's speaking specifically to this group and this event. He goes on to say, they are not from Islamic State or other groups fighting Iran's Islamic system. They are linked to America and Israel's intelligence agency, Mossad. Point blank. Now, could they be making this up? Absolutely. And like I always say, we should question everything. We should be questioning anything we're being told and try to research it ourselves and come to our own conclusions based on the limited evidence we may have in front of us and based on history and the sides and the lies each side has told, and come to your own conclusion. And, you know, based on this so far, very clear who's told more lies in the recent times. But we shouldn't take this at face value anyway. But it's important to understand what's being said. It goes on to say, quote, all four terrorists were quickly neutralized by security forces, that he told a TV station there. A four-year-old girl and a wheelchair-bound war veteran were among the dead, which is a pretty horrifying thing to happen. But it took a moment of longer than you would expect for the U.S. to finally come out and say, oh, we stand with the Iranian people. And then, of course, coming out like Rudy Giuliani just did and saying, but we're going to continue to aggressively sanction them and do everything we can to ruin their economy and ruin everything that's going on in their country just so we can force them to revolt against their leaders. Point blank. This is what the U.S. foreign policy is. Anybody, if you doubt that, just simply look at your history. It's very, very clear, tangible, verified, demonstrated. So it's important to understand that. And the point that people pretend to forget, or pretend to, you know, that's not the case, is that these sanctions are designed to hurt the people. Just like we literally just talked about Benjamin, the protester at the supposed Iran Action Group, where they were speaking about this very kind of thing, but of course not regime change. We're looking to change them in their ways, but obviously that's what they're seeking. But she spoke up and said, look, these sanctions hurt the people. And they know this. They just ignore it and they pretend it's not the case because they don't want the average person to realize that they're right now dramatically hurting the very people they pretend to be fighting for. It's a disgusting facade. It's important that we get this across too. And there's more coming on this story in a moment. But the next story, a very important one, coming back home here to some domestic news, which is pretty alarming. More so than a lot of stories we talk about because of the direction that it shows us going, based on some things that we've seen and even some, you know, dystopian movies and discussions we've had. This is a pretty alarming thing. This is coming from Antimedia. Apple begins tracking your calls and emails to assign you a trust score. That's a scary thing to realize. Now they're basically openly saying, yeah, we're going to track your emails and your calls and all this different stuff. Like that's not already happening. But now we're going to use it to assign you a trust score and use that to obviously the claim is to deter from criminal activity or whatever. Just always under the guise of convenience and security. as they just sell away your rights and can, you know, anything that seems like any kind of actual freedom in regard to this. But of course, this is a company, and I recommend you simply just stop using them if this is the case. And this gets into further discussion about social media as well and how this is going in that direction in regard to regulation. All this stuff definitely connects today. But in this story, so Apple has rolled out their new policy to, as they say, analyze your data and determine a trust score. That's their words, based on what it finds in your data. This is from the VentureBeat, which was reported this week. Now, in an update to this, to its privacy policy, which was issued last week, the company basically warns users it will be tracking emails and calls in order to prevent fraud. Of course, not to, we're just supposed to ignore all the very clear government connections to all of these companies. But that being said, they claim, oh, well, it's only going to be tallying this information on your phone, and it's only going to be sending this specific score back to Apple. And even if that is the case, we're supposed to believe that no one could possibly access that information on your phone, or even just a criminal or any. It is a very dangerous concept to be tallying up this information, even if it's stored on your phone alone. And we should know that by now. But people like their comfort and their convenience and their technology. VentureBeat notes that this new text, as it appears in the iTunes Store and privacy windows, you know, information of iOS and tvOS devices, meaning Apple TV as well, and observes that this is not a run-of-the-mill update. And the point they make is that you don't get any emails and phone calls on your Apple TV, at least not necessarily directly, but it's still going to be tallying this information and assigning you a trust score based on this information. Of course, people have aligned this with the Black Mirror. There's a very scary look into our future on how they're using these kind of social credit concepts to sign us in our daily lives. And it's not hyperbole. This is not hypothetical. This is currently happening in China. We've talked about this many times on this show. How there are literally incidences today where people have gone to fly somewhere and found out, oh, you can't fly because your social credit score is too low. Because you spoke out against the government, or you're not using the appropriate something or other, you know, whatever it is, literally grading you based on how good of a citizen you are to the government. And then through that, cracking down on what you're able to do. You can't get a loan, can't buy a car, you can't buy a house. It's very alarming. And I have a link in the show notes to what James Corbett has been talking about for years now. This was the implemented topic for China before it really went into effect, called Sesame Credit, where they came out with these videos making it look like he's talked about this in the past, the video game, the gamification of everything, making you think you're part of a game. Like, oh, look, if you buy this shirt and you scan it, you get 5 points on your social credit score. Oh, and if you wear this and do that and buy a Coke and do it at the movies at the same time, you get extra points, and, you know, on and on and on. So they end up gamifying your life and assigning you a credit score, or rather a social credit score, based on how you interact and if you're a good enough citizen to the American empire, right? I mean, that's what this is all about. And whether that's this or not, whether the trust score is really this same thing or not, is debatable. But we can all agree it's very clearly a step drastically in that direction. So it's a very alarming thing to think. Now, truly, we shouldn't be, oh my God, someone needs to stop this. We need to get the government involved. We should just stop buying Apple. It's simple as that. In a real free market, we should be able to go use something else and stop, go with a company that is not abusing your privacy. The problem is they're so intertwined with the government that they now have cut out most of the other competition to allow them to thrive. It's important to see that. But this is the situation we're in. The very clear opposite of the answer is going to the government. That's my opinion, but come to your own conclusions, as always. For the next article, this one coming from mintpressnews.com in regard to Israel and a very alarming thing, a lot of odd admissions lately of the reality of the situation, even though people seem to ignore that it's there. This one coming from Israel themselves, Israeli government argues it can annex any land, defy any international law it chooses. Not really a shock to most of you, I'd imagine. But the fact that they said it is kind of a shock. Where we literally just watched John Bolton threaten military action, sanctions, and arrest against anybody in the ICC or people that work with them if they dare to investigate the United States or their allies, being Israel and Saudi Arabia. I imagine no one else probably applies in that discussion because nobody else is really breaking as many laws as they are. It's very clear that these three together are the leading champions of human rights abuses and war crimes and violations of international law. So to see this is just a step aligned in the same way. And you notice that they always take cues from each other. One attacks Syria, the other one sneaks in an attack as well. Usually Israel, to be honest. But in this case, it's very clear that this is just them being showing strength in an area where the United States has already shown that they're standing aligned in the same way. It's a very scary topic in general. So during an ongoing court case regarding the legality of Israel's controversial regularization law, the Israeli government has argued that the Israeli Knesset can, quote, legislate anywhere in the world. Now, think about what that's saying, first of all. Legislate anywhere in the world. That's pretty alarming when you realize, that's point blank. That's a pretty big statement to make, and it shows you the perception they have of themselves. Now, I'm talking about the Zionist Israeli government. Very different than just simply Jewish people, which is a common misconception today. Zionist concept has hijacked that, much like we've seen in the United States, in both Zionism and other types of things. But very clearly, the Zionist-controlled Israeli government thinks they can legislate anywhere in the world. It's pretty crazy. And, quote, is allowed to ignore the directive of international law in any field it desires. That's such a bold statement to simply say, and we know this already, based on their nuclear ambiguity, just anything they do, their occupation of the Golan Heights, they just can do whatever they want, and no one can seem to say anything about it. Very similar to the way the United States acts. Now, the statements delivered to Israel's Supreme Court last month show clear proof that the Israeli government is openly defying international law with the full approval of its top officials in its bid to annex occupied Palestine and wipe out any hope of a future Palestinian state, which is, again, not very surprising. This is there. If you're listening to anything but the aggressive propaganda, it's very clear that they don't want anything. They don't want Palestinians existing at all. They very clearly don't want a Palestinian state, despite the fact that many mainstream media will give lip service to the idea that, oh, they're trying to come to an agreement. No, they're absolutely not. And this clearly shows you they don't care what anybody thinks. So with its government openly admitting that Israel's rogue state status that it really has and its intention to act without regard to international norms or just basic human decency, Israel has indicated that it is hell-bent on ethnically cleansing Palestine and eliminating the demographic threat once and for all. And that's a very scary thing, especially knowing what is happening to the Palestinian people and the simple fact that there are so many powerful people in the world that are hiding that from you and hiding the real actions of Israel from you. And now they're just point blank saying that we're going to go forward with this. And we're talking about genocide here, people. This is a very scary thing. And it's important that we get this information out there and in front of people that may be blinded to the propaganda, because these are human beings like anybody else. And they have a right to life, self-determination, happiness, any of it. Children, women, families. And they're talking about ethnically cleansing the entire area. This is a U.S. ally. Just like Saudi Arabia, just like all the other terrible things we talk about today. It's clearly in a little organized area of the worst human rights violators in the world, and we need to begin to see that. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com. Again, this is aligned with the concept of social media, the regulation step, and even to the Apple thing we were just talking about with the trust score. This is a big deal in my eyes, and I think it's getting very, very, very undersold, because maybe people don't realize how it connects, and maybe it hasn't really fully come to pass yet, but it's very important. This one entitled, Trump to investigate Google, Facebook, under new executive order, according to Bloomberg. Now, this is truly a big deal when we realize what this actually means. And I think, my opinion, based on research that I've done and other people that I respect, this is exactly what we've been expecting. That, you know, acting like, oh, this is just a reaction to something that happened. No, this is what has been engineered to take place so this could be the reaction. To step in and save the day from the horrible social media outlets that are, you know, censoring and, you know, banning everybody. And of course, this is being bent into the two-party paradigm as Trump saying, oh, they're only censoring conservatives. which is ridiculously not the case. We've shown that very clearly. Some outlets have a leaning one way or the other. Some people in those outlets very clearly do, right? Some outlets do actually maybe ban some more than the other. But overall, from all of our social media and internet, it's very clearly about anti-war, anti-establishment. And so this is through the president of the United States being bent into this two-party paradigm, splitting people, dividing people even more along these phantom imaginary lines, and now coming in to sweep in to save the day as we're gonna censor and regulate everything and make sure that you're all safe, taking away every aspect of actual freedom you may have. I mean, that's what it all comes back to. And this is a big deal. So according to an early draft of an executive order, which again, just the discussion of executive orders in and of itself is crazy. Remember, Donald Trump was one of many who spoke out aggressively about how absurd it was that Obama was ruling by executive order, where now Trump is well and beyond what Obama could have imagined. And everything we're doing is just signing an executive order. Now you could argue because it means Congress is useless and they're pit along party lines, which was part of the plan, and we know that. So nothing ever really gets done. So he has to go around them. But it doesn't change the fact that this is not the way that this democracy, even though it's not, this fake free society that we have, it's not the way it's supposed to operate, even under the guise, right? This is supposed to be a real kind of community concept. But no, this is just, I sign what I want and I can do what I want. That's what it comes down to. Even after the last NDAA, Donald Trump just signed and said, you know what? I'm not going to apply to this thing about Yemen. Nope, not going to happen. Even though all of Congress agreed upon it. How does that even work today? It's staggering. Now we see it's an early draft of an executive order. The White House will instruct federal law enforcement and antitrust agencies to launch investigations into the business practices of Facebook, Google, and other social media companies. This is according to Bloomberg, which again, you know, you could take them for what you will. I have seen this supported by many other places. So as far as I'm concerned, this is definitely happening. And this they said they have actually seen the draft. Now, while not specifically calling out companies by name, the document orders U.S. antitrust officials to, quote, thoroughly investigate whether any online platform has acted in violation of the antitrust laws, while instructing other agencies to return recommendations within a month of Trump signing the executive order, which could potentially, quote, protect competition among online platforms and address online platform bias. Says, quote, the document doesn't name any specific companies. If signed, which again is important, this is still preliminary, but I can almost guarantee you that we are going to see this come to pass because it lines up with everything this is all leading towards. If signed, the order would represent a significant escalation of Trump's basically his attitude towards Google, Facebook, Twitter, and other social media companies, whom he has publicly accused of silencing conservative voices and news sources online. Of course, as I pointed out, clearly all about the conservative aspect in this discussion point from him. But this is just the first step in using the government to manipulate how these things function. And this is a very alarming prospect because it will ultimately enshrine these as they once they're regulated, which is the next logical step after something like this, after he does his investigation and finds out, oh, look, they are biased. And oh, look, they are doing this and censoring because we know they are. That they're going to say, okay, well, now we need to step in and make sure that doesn't happen. And then it's too late. So this is a big deal. Now, it could not come to pass. That's always possible, right? I mean, we don't know. There's probably much more information around this, but this is a early view into what they're very clearly talking about. I had a great interview, which will be in the show notes, with James Corbett, called The Social Media Regulation PSYOP, talking about exactly this and how this is exactly what we expected. Knowing that they set all of this up into motion to some degree along the way to create the very problem so we would react to the problem, which is censorship and bias, and they would swing in with the solution and say, here you go, we're going to fix it for you. And all it takes is a little bit more of your freedom, a little bit more of your liberties, and we're going to make sure that the only way you can talk online today is through these enshrined platforms that we now officially control. The very people already manipulating everything. The very people we are actively speaking out about. Just trust them. They're going to do what's right. Something we should be very afraid of. We'll keep up on it. Make sure we do our research and keep you attuned to how it develops. It's a very important story. For the final story of the day, this one coming from ZeroHedge.com in regard to Venezuela and just other regime changes around the world, which is important to recognize, just seemingly out of left field. Pompeo vows series of actions against Venezuela's Maduro in the coming days. Now, obviously, there's plenty of claims people make about what's going on there. And, oh, my God, the socialism is ruining the country, which, you know, I'm probably not helping. Right. I don't think any government is really the answer. But the point here is that the sanctions, literally, as Rudy Giuliani just said about Iran, are ruining the economy there. And they've even asserted point blank that their sanctions are not the reason the economy is failing. Like, but not even a little bit, which is ridiculous. As he pointed out, the way that the sanctions are designed to affect their economy. So it shows you there's a reason they don't want you thinking that, because they need to use the excuse of Venezuela collapsing as his fault. As a reason we need to go in there and fight back, because they haven't been very successful on using the whole unrest and protesters aspect within the country to affect this. As you saw very clearly, he got democratically elected. And there were some 30 countries there as independent observers who verified that it was democratic, despite the U.S. hating that, even threatening and trying to make the opponent drop out so it looked like he was running unopposed. They didn't succeed. He ran anyway. But this is all on record. We've seen all of this. They're very clearly trying to foment unrest and carry out regime change in Venezuela. Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence, Nikki Haley, they've all said this point blank, even about Nicaragua and other countries, that this is what they want, actually saying regime change, which is pretty crazy. And so now we're seeing them just kind of come out of nowhere, probably saying, oh, look, the country's doing worse. The economy's doing worse. We need to come do something about it. But it just came out of nowhere. There hasn't been any real development, any, you know, carried fake protests or anything else like we usually expect. So I wonder what this is meant to maybe pull us away from. But clearly we can expect a series of actions. So Secretary of State Mike Pompeo issued an incredible statement to actually on Fox News on Friday, vowing to take serious actions or a series of actions in the coming days against Nicolas Maduro's government in Venezuela. The threat was, of course, couched in terms of being in the best interest of the Venezuelans, which it always is, which historically vary almost. They're batting 1,000 here. Every single country that they've gone in to help the people has done literally the exact opposite and is now a failed state. Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, the very same countries we're talking about here, literally seeing them dissolve to the worst possible scenario, worse than they ever pretended it was before. So now we're just supposed to assume that, oh, sure, let him come in there and just do the same thing in Venezuela for the best interest of the people. Seems to make sense. And though Pompeo didn't specify details, he said the U.S. is, quote, determined to ensure that the Venezuelan people get their say. Sorry, Mike, they got their say with their democratically elected president, which was independently verified by 30 plus countries while they were observing the election. But don't look at that, right? Well, don't look at that, because that's not what we're talking about. This, look at the Western media and focus on their propaganda. That's what they want. There's more than enough information out there to demonstrate what's really going on the ground. Now, I'm not pretending that socialism doesn't have a problem or negatively affect what they're trying to do. Personally, I don't think that any government is the answer. But I'm not. The point over all of it is that the U.S. is very clearly worsening an already bad situation, intentionally so, which hurts the very people they so disingenuously pretend to be fighting for, as always. He goes on to tell Fox, quote, I think you'll see in the coming days a series of actions that continue to increase the pressure level against the Venezuelan leadership folks who are working directly against the best interest of the Venezuelan people. Now, that's also not to say that there's not people in the country that do stand against him legitimately, that want to protest and hate Maduro. There's always factions of people that politically don't like the person in power. But we've seen very clearly that that's not the majority that they're trying to make it out to be, and that they verifiably have fomented violent revolutions in this country and many others to try to carry out this effort. Whether you're talking about the mass oil reserves that they have in the country or any number of connections to Russia, and there's a lot of different things going on there. The end of the day, we know that they want this, and it's very easy to see that. So for them to pretend that it's in the best interest of the people is just, if you buy that today, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not feeling very, very good about your cognitive skills. So it's important to go back to the beginning here. We started this show today by talking about how the U.S. is clearly seeking regime change in Iran, very clearly. This and past administrations have said as much. Many times. And Rudy Giuliani just openly stated that they are, in fact, trying to create a revolution, and point-blank stated that they will overthrow the Iranian government, that it's simply just a matter of time. And we can see very plainly that the U.S. is seeking regime change in many other countries, one of which is very obviously Venezuela. But in a clear effort by Nikki Haley today to get out in front of the statements made by Giuliani and the revealed contradiction between their stated policy versus what they're actually seeking, she used one of the government's many bought and paid for media propaganda outlets and had the nerve to say with a straight face that not only was the U.S. not seeking regime change in Iran, but that they were not seeking regime change anywhere, if you can believe that. So I'll finish today with a great video montage that I made that hopefully you'll enjoy. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere.
The behavior and the objectives of the regime are not going to change, and therefore the only solution is to change the regime itself.
The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere.
Before 2019, we here will celebrate in Tehran. Thank you very much.
The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere.
You've been able to form resistance units all over Iran. Those protests are not happening accidentally. Those protests are happening because they're being coordinated now. They're being coordinated by many of our people in Albania and many of our people here and all throughout the world.
The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere.
Our goal should be regime change in Iran.
The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere.
Tell me that you're not a serious threat. It's the regime we're trying to overthrow sees us as a threat. You are a threat. It is a reality. The protests are getting worse. I don't know when we're going to overthrow them. It could be in a few days, months, a couple of years, but it's going to happen. They are going to be overthrown. The sanctions are working. The currency is going to nothing. We see signs of young men and women saying, give me some food. We saw a sign of a man trying to sell his internal organs for $500 American, probably a fortune in Iran today. These are the kinds of conditions that lead to successful revolution and, God willing, nonviolent revolution.
The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere. The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere. The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere. The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere. The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere. The United States is not looking to do a regime change in Iran. We're not looking to do regime change anywhere.
The right policy for Iran, for every good, decent government in the world, is regime change. Regime change. You. Regime change. Regime change. Absolutely. Let him hear it. Let him hear it in Tehran. You know they're nervous. You know they're nervous. You know they're frightened.